This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstand Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, happy Father's Day, boys and girls. Welcome to the wake-up call. I know, where's the opening monologue? But today, we have a very interesting topic that we don't want to waste too much of my my own needs for. Also, we're going to call my dad. So, let's get some dialing music out there. Rusty provided this for me. It's not really bluegrass. So let's see what we can do here. Hopefully you've called your dad or have it on your list. There we go. That's the sound you always like. I won't even promise that he's home. It's a beautiful day. He could be out golfing. And I learned a long time ago, you don't ever call my dad when he's out golfing on his cell phone.
Hello.
Hey, happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy Father's Day to you, too.
Well, I don't have any kids.
That's okay.
Well, okay, then happy. Then I'll accept the happy Father's Day as long as you understand that there are no children on my end.
Not that I know about, anyway.
I was just telling all the listeners that I was hoping that you were home, but I knew better than to call you on your cell phone on what could be golfing time.
Well, it's not golfing time yet, but it will be before long.
Yes, I thought it might be. So what are the plans for Father's Day today?
Well, we had a big Father's Day celebration last night. Your sister Kathy had everybody over, and we had a big cookout. And the grandkids and everybody was there. And today, your mother and I are playing some golf with friends this afternoon.
Oh, so what was the party like last night?
Oh, let's see. We had your mom made homemade lemon pie and homemade chocolate pie, which was right down my alley. And Kathy had some grilled chicken, and then we had deviled eggs and broccoli, cold beer. That was a pretty good party.
Well, it does sound like a good party.
It was a good party.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but I am going to come home next weekend, so make sure that somebody has another party for that.
I'll make sure there's a party for next weekend. I'll make sure there's a beer cold in the refrigerator, too.
That'll work. I need to get on to my topic for the day, but I'm going to use you to get us started.
Okay.
Today, in the last couple months, seems to me I've lost track of time already, but in the last 6 weeks, we'll say there have been a couple issues up here. We had one high school student who was who died in a car accident, and the belief is that he was drinking at a party. The police went to the party and gave several students some tickets for underage drinking. And he was a member of that school's lacrosse team. And in the end, after a couple weeks went by, the students on the lacrosse team decided to cancel the season. A few weeks after that, at prom time, some parents held a post-prom party where they apparently put forth a lot of effort to make sure that there wasn't any alcohol. The kids were camping out, et cetera, in a field. And the police showed up for that and, again, gave some tickets to kids for underage drinking and alcohol. One of the things that we're going to talk about today is the effort that the parents have to do and what they should do or what the expectations are for making sure that kids handle alcohol as best they can, in a safe way, et cetera, and all the things that go on with that. I'm curious, as raising three kids, what some of your efforts were, and whether you feel like you did a good job, a mediocre job, or a bad job with that.
Probably didn't do any better job than anybody else. I think that it's a product of our whole society, and that we don't like to face the difficult issues, whether it be education about sex and sexual transmitted diseases, whether it be about alcohol or drugs. We tend, number one, not to want to talk about those difficult subjects, and so we avoid them. But yet it's the reality of our society that we live in. Whatever you think about it morally, it's still something that's there, and I think you have to deal with it.
All right. Well, I thank you for getting us started, kick-starting us on the topic today. You know I love you.
I love you, too.
And I'll see you next weekend.
Okay.
Happy Father's Day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, the wake-up call is on its roll, 11:05 here on WNRN. Let's introduce the guests that are actually in the studio. Catherine, are you nearby so that we can test this mixer? Let's see, number one, not necessarily one over two and three, but we'll say 1A because she's the woman in the room. Sue Friedman, the chair from the Albemarle County School Board. Sue, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, despite the early hour.
The early hour. Now, I have another guest here who's a little younger than myself, who I might assume would complain about the early hour on a Sunday. But an adult, do you work the night shift?
You know, I look for every opportunity I can have not to be working somewhere doing something.
And I'll agree. I yesterday was the first day I've had a chance to sleep in a long time, and I did so. So Sue is now, do you go by chairperson, chairman, chairwoman, or just chair?
Oh, just chair.
Chair. The chair of the Albemarle County School Board.
Yes.
All right. There's got to be a way to turn that microphone around so that Sue doesn't have to stretch in the gymnastic fashion every time she wants to chat. We have next to her Frank Burkett. Frank is a parent of Western Albemarle. A graduate.
Just graduated last week.
All right. Frank's here to represent the parent section. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And then over, tucked in the corner, not for any particular reason, but, you know, everybody has their reach. Andrew Owen. Andrew, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Nope, got to fix that. Andrew is a coach of the lacrosse team?
That's correct, at Western Albemarle High School.
There we go. Coach of the lacrosse team at Western Albemarle, and an occasional substitute teacher.
In the fall.
Yep. Excellent. Well, I do want to thank everybody for coming in today. So we have the chair of the Albemarle County School Board. We have a parent for someone representing a recent Western Albemarle graduate. And we're not picking on Western here by any means, but, you know, a lot of times when you're honey down guest you call who's willing to come in. And Andrew, who is a coach at Western Albemarle. Let's start. Nice, easy, basic question. And Frank, we'll go to you. I asked my dad what the parents should be doing in this. Because in the United States, which is a lot different than the other industrial countries around the world, alcohol is not necessarily considered a very good thing. No, at some point you cross a line and it's okay, but if you're below that line, it's not. I'm curious as to what you did with your kids and whether or not you think that we handle it overall as a community in a good or bad way.
Well, I really think it's up to the parents mainly to work with their children on it. You got to understand that their brains aren't fully mature until they're 25, according to all the medical research, and they're going to make illogical decisions that we don't understand. And that alcohol could kill or maim them. It's out there. So I just, from a young age, talked to them about. I thought so. My job is to get them to the age of 25 without having some tragedy due to alcohol or drugs or something like that.
Andrew, you see a variety of kids on a daily basis, I guess. I mean, you were coaching. How long is the season from first practice until until the end of the season?
Officially, late February to as early June, really.
So you've seen these kids for, what is that, 4 months?
Yeah, 4 or 5 months.
On pretty much a daily basis.
Yep.
Okay. One of the things that always gets me is that, what is the percentage of people who are, percentage of kids who are drinking? I think for a lot of folks, it's not my kid, it's my neighbor's kid, or it's the kid over there down the street, or it's the kid whose picture I see in the paper who did something wrong, whose name I read about. And I'm not asking you to talk just about Western, because can you toss out your age for me?
I'm 24.
24. So I'm sure you, and you're obviously athletically involved. I'm assuming that you didn't become a coach of lacrosse just this season without having played lacrosse in high school, and probably a much younger age as well, and been involved in athletics and probably a variety of sports for a while.
Yeah.
I'm just curious as to whether or not athletes treat alcohol any differently than any other kids.
Do you mean in terms of they think that they're allowed to get away with it, or that they drink more heavily than other students?
I guess I'm curious as to whether or not a greater percentage of them drink.
Well, I think sports provides a great social network. And that's one of the advantages of playing on a team, is that you meet a lot of people. You're automatically sort of connected to a community of peers, and that's even to the larger athletic community within a school, not just within a team. And maybe perhaps that sort of social networking provides for more parties, and if one team does one thing, then maybe it easily transcends to another team. I don't know. So maybe athletes do drink more regularly than regular students, but I don't know that that's the case.
Do you think that non-athletes are also participating?
Oh, absolutely.
In these things?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me ask our chair of the Albemarle County School Board, Sue Friedman. So my understanding, and I am just working off conversations with others, the always depthly written Daily Progress newspaper articles. My understanding is that only athletes are asked to sign these pledges that say, I won't smoke, I won't drink, I won't misbehave during the season. Is that true?
That currently is true. The athletic training pledge is obviously, as it is so named, for athletes.
My understanding, again, from one of the more recent school board meetings, is that there's discussion about what to do now, about whether or not to extend the pledge to others or remove the pledge altogether.
You're most correct. We've asked the community, and this is a great opportunity, as well as our staff and our athletic leadership, to do some best practices reviews, look at what's happening around the country, and to bring back to us any recommended revisions or changes they might have for what we're doing at the moment. And so we are looking at everything. You're quite correct.
So there's the possibility that the pledge may be removed from the athletes?
That's certainly a possibility. I don't know that it's likely, but in my mind, when you try to provide the best solution, you have to look at everything. You have to question everything. You don't start where you are. You go back to zero, and you look at everything.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that that's a thing that a lot of folks involved in government and policies, et cetera, don't think of. It's only adding on to rather than subtracting from.
Well, Rick, if I might, it's all about, for us, what is our vision, mission, what are the goals of the school division? And if what we're doing doesn't in some way align and enhance the vision, mission, and goals, then we need to question whether or not we need to do it.
Also, some of the potential policy may be that all students would sign the pledge?
Certainly could be.
Or at least students involved in school activities, aside from just athletes, the band, the drama club.
The extracurricular. And again, there's a lot of case law out there that indicates the courts do support school boards engaging in student conduct consequences for students off campus in terms of extracurricular activities. It's a very interesting law and one we're learning more and more about, but the courts have held in case after case, when we had a very lengthy review of case law at our last school board meeting, that when there is a nexus, when there is a connection that impacts the school climate and the ability of the schools to do their job, that the schools have the opportunity to provide student conduct consequences for off-campus behavior. Now, again, that may not be what our community wants us to do. So therein comes hearing from the community.
Right, and feel free to dial us up and be part of the community who's participating in the conversation today as we talk about underage drinking, school policies, and everything that goes with that, expectations of parents and non-parents as to who should be handling this and in what way we should be handling it. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. That's 1-877-967-6762. Toll free number 979-0919 for those who are a little more local. Frank Burkhead, the parent here in the studio today. What do you expect the school to do? I mean, do you have any expectations of the school in assisting you? Because you already made it clear that you are also taking some or putting forth some effort into teaching your kids. I would assume that there are probably some parents out there who are just like, whatever, you know, let the school do that. Because like my dad said, there are a lot of folks who don't necessarily want to have these conversations. But do you expect the school to assist you in any way?
I think the school needs to work on its primary mission, which is educating the children. And make sure that the environment, while they're at school or in their school's authority, that they're making sure they aren't breaking any laws, number one. And if they are breaking the law, call the police. And I think when the school tries to go beyond that, they run into a lot of problems because they really are instituting other people's agenda that might not necessarily agree with the parents of the students. As an example, Western made a great effort to have all the students sign a pledge when they bought the prom tickets that they wouldn't drink and drive. Well, a 16, 17, 18-year-old signs that. They believe the school's winking. We know you go drink, just don't drive. A lot of parents don't agree with that. And I think the school was trying to do what was good, but they encouraged the drinking that night by having that pledge and giving out business cards with yellow cab phone numbers on it,
as opposed to just saying, "Look, if we think that you've been drinking, we're not going to let you in."
We're doing a lot of things we're really instituting. We don't expect you to drink that night, and if you happen to, here's there one emphasis on not drinking. It was the emphasis on don't drink and drive, and then they act surprised when there's a party with kids drinking. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Andrew Owen, our a representative from the coaching side, coaching at Western Albemarle. Andrew, you know, what did you hear beforehand from the kids that you're coaching? Was there conversation about this? And what do you feel is your role in terms of representing the school? If you overhear people talking about, you know, how they're going to get the liquor or whose house they're going to go to party before they go to, do you feel some responsibility about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we certainly spoke with the kids prior to prom and told them that there's a lot at stake with our season and that we expected them to make the right decisions and to be responsible and to take care of themselves first and foremost, but to take care of the team as well. And they understood that that if they got caught drinking, that that would jeopardize our season. And that is exactly what happened. And so we tried to deal with it in-home. I mean, I think that coaches understand that they need to deal with it first and that they can't just leave it to the athletic department or to the school administration. But, you know, I'll tell you my feelings on it regarding athletes. And obviously, Nolan Jenkins' death was a real tragedy. But part of the tragedy with these drinking violations and these seasons that are ending is that these kids work so hard. You know, like we said, we were with these kids from late February to early June. And that's 4.5, 5 months. And a lot of them have been training for this season prior to that. And when a season comes to an end so close to, I mean, we were in the state tournament, and we had, I think, 12 seniors out for that game in the state quarterfinals. I mean, it's like a marathon runner who checks out at the 25th mile or something, you know? It's like we're so close. And I think what the coaches need to do is not just talk about, you know, don't drink and drive, be safe. We need to convey to the kids that what they're doing out there is really something special, and that for high school kids to most of them won't go on and play in college in any sport, we need to let them know, and I think our administration needs to back us up, that the 2 hours that they give each day, and it turns into a lot more than 14 hours a week, is really something special, and it's something to be acknowledged, and that when they create a season and create their team, it regardless of how far they make it in the state playoffs or even in the district playoffs, it's really something special, and we really appreciate the hard work that they do, and that is in itself is worthy of being protected. And for people for kids to go out with so much on the line and risk it, that's a real tragedy. Of course, we're worried about drunken driving, but to me as a coach, I was just so upset for the kids that they had worked so hard for so long and had created something so special and were willing to put it on the line because they couldn't really see it in the proper context. I mean, I think if you'd ask any of those kids, hey, would you jeopardize the season for a couple of drinks? Of course they'd say no. But I think coaches need to put it in the right frame of reference so that they understand exactly how special it is these teams that they're on.
All right, 11:22 here on the wake-up call. I know I have a caller on. Sean, hang tight for just a second because I need to take care of some business. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 90 to 95. Clear tonight, lows 65 to 70. Sunny tomorrow with a slight chance of thunderstorms, highs 85 to 90. Down in Richmond, a little warmer, 90 to 95. Right now in the Valley, it's sunny everywhere, 84 in the Valley, 76 in Lynchburg, 80 in Richmond, 83 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And I want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at the corner of Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And let's take our first call of the day. We got Sean from Richmond. Hey, Sean. Oh, Sean, I can hear the phone. Are you still there? Whoops. Maybe I should do this button. How about that? Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, well, good. But, you know, I should be pushing the right buttons, and then we can hear you. What you got for us?
Well, I just think that, you know, it's all, you know, education, not incarceration. And, you know, the police force going and raiding these parties. I graduated from Western back in the early 80s, and, you know, it was back when you had Easter's weekend, and back when, you know, it was legal to drink when you were 18. And, you know, it's, these kids can go out and die for oil, but they, you know, they can't have a beer. And over in Europe, you know, you're free. If you're old enough to look over a bar, you know, then you're old enough to drink. And it's more in the education and the responsibility. And why are you drinking? Are you drinking to, because you're sad? Or you drink to elevate your happiness? You know, it's, I think, you know, trying to, you know, force kids into doing something is just going to make them want to do it more. It's, you know, it's like telling the kid, you know, that surface is hot, they got to get burned, you know. Well, some of them do, but, you know, I don't think, you know, we, you know, I think a lot of times when you say, you know, it's wrong, they're going to go out and do it just that much more.
I think a lot of folks would agree with you. Thanks for listening, man, and keep on.
Hi.
All right, you can dial up and be just like Sean, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Sue?
Yes, Rick, I think that both Andrew and our caller, Sean, have hit upon something that we at the school board believe very strongly. Education is certainly a key, and what are the things that we aren't doing in the school division that we need to start doing, and what are the things that we are doing that we perhaps could enhance around education, both of students and perhaps of parents. You know, we now require a two-hour seminar for every parent who has a child who wants to enter driver's education. Maybe that's an opportunity for us to spend some time with parents and talk about the challenges and the pressures and the issues around underage drinking. Maybe we need to look at adding help to the 11th and 12th grades, which we don't offer right now.
Andrew, hold on a sec. Let me ask you, Sue, what about what Frank said in terms of signing the sheet, the kid signing the sheet that said no drinking and driving? Do you agree with his point about how instead of just saying no drinking, you added in the no driving, and then, and not necessarily you, but the school system, you know, at least Western, did that happen at Albemarle as well? And what's your take on that?
I don't know first if it happened at Albemarle or at Monticello. I think the school division, and certainly in this case Western Albemarle High School, was doing something as a follow-up to the tragic accident with Nolan Jenkins. And so certainly there are different ways to do things, but they were trying to be proactive.
All right, hang on, caller. Andrew?
Well, I guess I would just say that I have some, you know, coaching perspective, but I'm, as a, you know, doing some substitute teaching as well, like I had to do quite a bit of driver's ed this past fall. And I think the issue that we need to talk about with the caller is that, you know, in America, we drive a lot, and the kids drive a lot, so we need to be concerned about drinking and driving. And when I go in there and I have to basically given a curriculum for a day and I have to show some videos or whatever on drunk and driving for the driver's ed class, it's kind of a joke. I mean, I'm sort of embarrassed with the materials that I'm given. And I'm glad that Sue's here because, you know, she can take this back to their meetings. But, you know, they hand me a video from 1983, sponsored by Ford. And I mean, they don't even make those cars anymore. And the kids, I think we need to find more creative ways of educating these kids about drunken driving, because what I'm given as a teacher, I think fails on a number of levels. And, you know, parking a firebombed car or whatever out in front of a high school a couple days before prom is the wrong approach too, because that's what I saw in high school. I mean, they'd take a car where a kid had died and it had been scorched by, you know, this horrible accident, and it's supposed to scare you into doing the right thing. And I just think that's the wrong tactic.
Yeah, you've seen worse movies.
Yeah.
Let me take our caller real quick. Call,
sure.
Chris, you there?
Hi, yeah. I'm a student at Western Alamo High School, and I'd like to say that the pledge was completely voluntary. It was a giant poster in the cafeteria, and students were they were asked as they walked by to sign that they would not drink and drive. So that was completely something that showed that they care about our health. So I don't think the school should be, you know, talked badly about for doing something like that.
Well, let me ask you while you're on the phone, and I have a coach from Western and a parent of a Western student and the chair of the school board that oversees Western, is if all you had to do was sign it if you wanted to, I'm not actually trying to
require you to do anything, obviously, but
right, I'm not trying to talk bad about Western.
Since we're your fellow students, you know, could go forward and, you know, set an example that they were going to say outright that they weren't going to do any of that to jeopardize their health or their friend's health.
All right. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate having someone who's actually at student at Western every day. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, call us up, regardless of your age, your thoughts, your feelings. We'd love to hear from you, 979-0919, 1130 here on the Wake Up Call. As we have Sue Friedman, the chair of Albemarle County School Board, Frank Burkhead, a parent of a recent Western Albemarle High School graduate, Andrew Owen, a coach and occasional substitute teacher at Western. Let me do this real quick. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is also supporting this program today. They are featuring outdoor footwear from Teva, Reef, and Checo Sandals to Merrill and Montreal hiking boots. Also at Blue Ridge, it's synthetic, quick-drying, travel-friendly shorts and tops from Patagonia and the North Face. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, they're in Richmond, and at BRMS.com. Sue, did you want to say something real quick before I take this call?
I was just going to say thanks to Andrew for being so thoughtful about his experience in driver's ed, and I'm sure he shared that with his supervisor. We're really a bottoms-up organization. We really listen to students and to teachers and to parents, and we on the school board, of course, listen and respond too, but we think we have a pretty good staff across the division, and so we really appreciate when people have constructive criticism or suggestions to offer, and they can work with their supervisors and their principals and their athletic directors to put those in a good form and bring them to us as a recommendation. I think we're not a top-down organization, and I think that's one of the positive things about the Albemarle County Schools.
All right, let's take this call from Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey. Hey, yeah, I have a few comments on this.
Bring it on.
First of all, I do believe that the athletes should sign a pledge. I think that should go with that part of the school that they're dealing with, despite what the pros do. You know, they should be above all that needing to drink, at least during season. I do not believe that the student body should have to sign anything. And I do not believe the school board should have any real say in what the student body does, especially off grounds. And it's just, I think that's way too much to ask of the school board.
Rick, if I might, a question.
Mike, can you hear Sue?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying about athletes. Band members and drama members represent the school division also, and yet you wouldn't want them to be held to that.
No, I don't think they should be. I don't think they should be controlled. That's just my opinion at this point. I don't have a lot of experience other than I do have two teenage students in Nelson, and but they're in the athletic department. They don't play in those other extracurricular things, but at any rate, so anyway, that's just my opinion.
I value that. I guess what I'm hearing you say is then athletes should be held to a higher standard.
That's right. I do believe that.
Okay.
I do believe that, especially if they carry it on beyond high school, that needs to be continued all on up through college, whatnot. That should be, and in many colleges, that you're in training when during the season, and there is no drinking, especially during season. So,
all right. Hey, thanks, Mike.
I do have another comment. The parents should be number one here. I mean, when I grew up in the 70s, my mother had my friends over all the time, and she collected all the keys, and we drank. The kids are always going to drink, no matter what. I don't care what kind of pledge they sign or whatnot, they're going to. And the police need to use a little more discretion when they go visit these parties. I think they should go directly to the parents and see what is going on and only bus kids that are going to be driving. I mean, at least, unless these things are out of control, I think they really need to take a close look at what's going on because, there's parties all over and you can't stop teenage drinking by policing. In fact, that may make it more fun, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thanks, man. 11:35 here in the wake-up call. Feel free to dial in as we talk about underage drinking and school policies and parental expectations, etc. Sue Friedman, chair from the Albemarle County School Board. Andrew Owen, a coach and substitute teacher out at one of the county schools, Frank Burkhead, a parent of a recent county school grad.
This is a little bit off subject, but on the subject of the parties, I think one of the things the community has to come to an agreement with the police department, the Commonwealth Attorney, is how kid parents have a party and not be worried about being prosecuted themselves. The parents of the Western Alamo people who had the party after the prom.
How do you pronounce her name?
Gokies.
Gokies.
They did everything possible. They threw away liquor. They patrolled. The kids are talented, and they were able to sneak some past them. That's just the way it's going to be.
And my understanding is that the Gokies actually went to or got some information provided by the ABC board, such as, you know, trim down the hedges, close up buildings that they could sneak into. The Gokies got a big, a huge light to light up the field that they were in so that there were fewer shadows, etc.
Those are all the things the Gokies did. It's coincidental that that's what the ABC board brochure says to do, preventive measures like that. But the point is, now, next year, parents will be very, very concerned about throwing a party, and sometime between now and then, we need to have a way that the parents can feel that they can do something to keep the kids safe without endangering the kids' lives. And not to belabor the point, but they were dealing with kids that had been given a wink and nod at school that you can drink as long as you don't drive. And Sue can disagree with me on that, but that's how a 17-year-old interprets that. And now the Gokies are bearing the brunt of that subtle message to the children. And I know the pledge was not a mandatory pledge when they bought the prom tickets, but I don't think there was an emphasis in the school, don't drink. It was don't drink and drive. And I understand that's important, but now what will happen next year when the kids don't have a parent to keep them safe? That's my biggest concern.
Well, I got Sue and I got Andrew here who are at the school, or Andrew at the school every day, and Sue overseeing the people at the school every day. Reply to that?
Well, I think what Mr. Burkhead's saying is he wants the schools to be a little stronger. And that certainly is something we can do if that's the prevailing
What I'm saying, Sue, is don't encourage them to break the law.
I'm sure we haven't.
Well, by drinking alone, that's breaking the law. By saying don't drink and drive, you've encouraged them by winking an eye.
Andrew, how do you think the students took it? Do you think that they actually interpreted it that way? Was it Chris? I think it was Chris who called up and said that he was a student there and that he seemed to feel that I, at least myself, were talking poorly about Western by putting this out there, and that's not my goal. But if Western didn't, it seems like Western sort of went in the middle. Instead of not saying anything, not saying, you know, because I know that even when I attended some school dances and proms, it was, if we think you've been drinking, you can't come in. Might not have helped, since the only way I could get around was to get back on the road, but nonetheless. What do the kids think?
Well, I think the kids, high school kids, are going to skew anything they can to their own advantage. And I think they understood probably from what Sue would say is that we gave them a message to don't drink and drive. Don't drink and then don't drive. So, but I agree with Mr. Burkhead that they're going to interpret that to say, well, don't drink and drive is one sentence, and the driving is the key part there. So I don't think they're dumb. I think they knew that they're not supposed to drink. But when it comes to rationale, I think they'd say, hey, well, you know, the pledge says don't drink and drive, and I didn't drive, so I should be okay.
Yeah. We'll tell Sue, you know, while she's here, and let's hear from callers who want to do it the same, what's the better way to handle that next year? What should it say? Take the and out of it? Don't drink or drive.
And what I'm hearing, Rick, too, is that parents want the school division to be more of a partner with them. And what some people are telling us is the parents' responsibility. And some people are telling us that we need to stay out of this, that this is between parent and their child. So, again, it's helpful for us to hear all the points of view.
One of the things that I found most interesting was the different way that the two schools handle things, Albemarle and Western. And as soon as I take this break, now that it's 11:41, we're going to come back and talk about that, why two schools in the same county, underneath the same county school board, handle things a little different. 11:41 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, and this week there are lots of historical markers in our area, but driving past them at 45 miles an hour makes them difficult to read. The Hook slows down to show us the area's rich and crazy history. Should the university be chasing geese off of the Del Pond? Why? And is the area's most famous pizza place, Crozet Pizza, soon to be demolished by an area developer? The Hook, thanking Dad for everything. And we're also here thanks to Five Guys Burgers and Fries, Seville Reader's Choice for burgers, and rated by a Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries is behind the fountain at the Barracks Road Shopping Center. They're now open in the Hollymead Town Center and on the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. Dial them up, 975-GUYS. All right, we got Scott calling us from Belmont. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
I don't know. I guess I had a couple of thoughts, but I'll just throw out maybe some questions. Either it seems like when a problem occurs, there's often a sort of rush to think what can we do, what's possible, and not necessarily a consideration of what's appropriate. You could certainly prevent drinking and all drug use in the high schools if you're willing to have breathalyzers for everybody before they came in the door and do random searches on everybody. But, you know, how far do you want to go? So that's one topic of just because you can, should you? I guess the other one, in hearing the sort of mixed message thing, I mean, kids are going to get lots of messages about alcohol consumption, many of them encouraging them to use it, others discouraging it, but discouraging various aspects of it. So I'm not sure why it's essential that the message be absolutely consistent throughout, or that, for instance, if you don't mention the fact that there's a, you know, alcohol abuse probably contributes to an increase in pregnancy rates, but because you're not mentioning it doesn't mean that you're encouraging that particular behavior. So I guess I'd be curious as to why it's absolutely essential that the consistent message be there throughout.
All right, man. Thanks. Keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
Sue, let's start with you on that one.
Hey, Rick, could you give me a synopsis of what he said? I couldn't hear him.
Catherine, come in here and check these headphones for me. He was talking about the fact that there are a lot of things that we could do to, on a daily basis or on a regular basis, to make sure that kids weren't drinking, such as you could put up breathalyzers and check everybody before they came in. Again, I guess the methods of making sure of what I said was, if we think you've been drinking, you can't get in here. It doesn't have anything to do with drinking and driving. It has to do with drinking from the start. That was part A of his comment. So okay. Could you hear him?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. Yes. And I, just as an aside, my hometown of Plainfield, Indiana, did breathalyze every student before they could enter the prom. So it happens out there. Again, though, what is it that our community expects is the appropriate way for the school division to handle this? And is it the school division's sole, are we the ones who are solely responsible for this issue? And I would say, for the second question, no, I don't think the school division is the sole entity that's responsible for the issues of underage drinking or drinking and driving. I think it is a community issue, but we want to be very sure that people, parents, students, community members, feel the school division is doing what is appropriate and doing it well in terms of helping to address this issue.
All right, 11:45 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about underage drinking, parental needs and efforts, school policies, and these things that go along with underage drinking and the problems and concerns about it. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS if you need the toll-free line. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919. Catherine and Graham are out there today answering the phone. Feel free to dial them up and get patched through. I said that I wanted to bring up the conversation about the two schools. Each school has had something happen. Albemarle High School, their lacrosse team lost a player, Nolan Jenkins, drinking and driving. And effectively what happened after that was the police went to a party. Several students received tickets for underage alcohol. And then there was a question about whether or not any of them were on the lacrosse team. Albemarle High School principal asked if you got a ticket to please step forward if you had broken your pledge. At Western, after the prom, a post-prom party, when the police showed up and went inside and ended up giving people several tickets for underage drinking, the Western principal and athletic department asked those folks or their athletes who were still going on for the season to say, did you or did you not break the pledge? Sign it again. Have you done something beforehand? So they were handled quite differently. And I'm curious as to, is that up to the principal as to how that's done, Sue?
Well, obviously in this scenario, it is up to the principal and the coaches and the athletic directors of the schools how they particularly handle, shall we say, enforcement of the training pledge. There's one big difference between these two situations. In the Albemarle High School situation, it's our understanding that all of those arrested, the 11 arrested, were not 18 or older, so that the names of those arrested have not been shared with our superintendent per state law. It is also our understanding that many of those arrested in the Western Albemarle situation were 18, are 18, and their names have been shared with the superintendent. So we know who they are. So,
but still, isn't it, it seems to me that the county, and Ann, I see that Ann is hanging on the line. Ann, please hang on. I got a couple things that I want to finish up here, but I don't want you to go away. If they're all from the same county, and I understand that the Albemarle principal didn't know the names and the Western principal did know the names, but if the Western principal knew the names, why couldn't he just say, you're out? And the Albemarle principal, because he didn't know the names, say, you sign it again. I mean, it seems to me that it should almost be the opposite. And I don't understand, Frank, as the parent, why are we even asking the kids to sign the papers again when the parents should be going, you got a ticket, you're off the team. You can't play anymore. You sign that, live up with the responsibilities that come with breaking that.
I'll let Frank answer first.
Well, that's what you would hope the parent would do. And in my ideal world, you'd leave it up to the coaches to make the decisions. And the coaches good coaches can have a great special relationship with players and really mentor them along and bring them along. I would argue for letting the coaches decide what's the proper behavior and the proper punishment. I think that's a little bit better than a one solution fits all.
All right, let's take this call real quick, and then we'll come back to this, because I got another six dozen questions that came up out of that. Ann, are you there?
Yes.
Hey.
Everyone talks about, they're talking about the education again, about drinking and driving and all that, but I think what's being forgotten, and this plays a large role and is important, is education concerning how to deal with peer pressure. Because I think a lot of parents may think in their home, their kids, they've taught them this, and they know better. But it's a whole different situation when you get large groups of kids together and you're dealing with issues with peer pressure and trying to look cool with other kids or you're upset because someone you like is with someone else and you may, oh, I'm going to have a drink or whatever. And I'm sorry, I'm starting nervous. And I think they should go, I mean, we have the problems with, you know, they're talking about gangs, too. And again, I think a lot of education needs to be with feeling sure of yourself or things to do to not have to worry, you know, dealing with large groups and peer pressure. And again, I think it is the parents' responsibility, a lot of it, not the schools there, not the parents.
Ann, you sound great. Don't worry about being nervous. Call back next week.
Okay.
Thank you, Ann.
I do want to take a moment to thank 45 Fix for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. 11:51 here on the Wake Up Call. 9 minutes left as we talk about underage drinking and parents and schools and everything that goes along with it. And a few more minutes. You'll want to hang tight because at noon, George Bell's here for his Les Temps Perdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Mariah Carey, no Asia or REO Speedwagon, but he will do Talking Heads and Replacements, and he takes requests. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. All right.
Rick, I do want to, and you did ask a very good question, I think, about the differences in perceived differences, if not real differences, in how the two schools handled the situations. And that is one of those issues that we're going to be looking at. Does there need to be one policy that fits all? Do we need to have consistency in this particular situation and these issues across all of our high schools? So it definitely is something that has come to our attention, and we will, again, be gathering best practices and recommendations and certainly community input.
I'd like to say I hope you shy away from that. Obviously, the Western situation and the Alamo situation are completely differently, but the Alamo principal is dealing with the death of a teammate, and how you bring those children through that situation, they shouldn't be second-guessed on that. The guy was doing the best he could to bring them through that, and it might not have been the right solution, but it's certainly, you can't compare the two situations for drinking after prom and trying to deal with kids who have lost a teammate forever.
I'll buy that. I do believe that you can't have a set. Lance is on the phone. Hang on, Lance. I do believe that you can't have a cookie-cutter responsibility for things. And that's what makes a great group of people who are in charge is realizing that you need to be flexible. But I want to go back to what you said a minute ago about if the parent knows that their child broke the pledge, you're hoping or your expectation is that the coach handles that. Andrew, what do you think about that, knowing that it's playoff season, you know, and I'm not asking you and your personal, you know, morals and ethics here, but for the parent to have their understand that their kid had to sign a pledge, no drinking, no smoking, no breaking the law during the season or during the year. And then the parent knows because the police showed up at their house with their kid, and the parent says, well, whatever you say.
Well, you know, coaches are always trying to walk a fine line between dealing with parents and making their own judgments about how responsibility should be conducted. But, you know, I can just tell you what we did as coaches. We dealt with it in home. We didn't want it to be a big school board matter. We didn't think that this isn't unprecedented, you know, dealing with drinking violations. And whether we agree with it or not, the rule by the county is that these kids have to sign the training pledge at the beginning of the season that says they won't use drugs, they won't drink, they won't use illegal substances. So, we had a good enough relationship with our kids, and I think coaches need to do this, that we said, who drank? Who, you know, come forward. Don't let the legal people figure it out. Like, let's deal with it right now. And we actually had more than half the kids. We had a group of kids that actually got citations from the police officers, but the bulk of the kids that were suspended came forward to the coaches and said, we violated and we don't deserve to play because of that violation. So,
Lance, are you there?
Oops.
Yo, man, from North Garden.
Yeah.
Yes. What do you have for us?
Well, my thought was, with all this, that I've become aware that there are good examples and bad examples,
around these kinds of issues. And one of the things that I became aware of when my son, who was in at CHS, started sort of going to some of the parties and stuff, was that when a couple of his friends ended up getting busted for underage drinking, he actually started making some slightly different decisions on these things. I remember a party that we sort of reservedly allowed him to go to that we were a little concerned about, but told him he'd have to make his own decision. He went to with a friend of his, and when they got there, it seemed out of control to them, and they decided this place was going to get busted, and they left. And I'd like to think that this was all due to my teaching and everything, but I think from having looked at the situation and having had his friends have to deal with this, I think it helped him make a better decision. And my feeling is that to a certain extent, you enforce the law, and if people break it, you bust them, and then they become the best bad example for kids to look at. I think, for instance, Ben Roethlisberger is an excellent, excellent example of why you should not ride motorcycles without a helmet. And that's sort of the whole thing around this holding athletes to a higher standard or something. I think you just have to treat them like human beings, and if they do bad behavior and they get in trouble for it, to a certain extent that's bad, but it's also a good example of bad behavior and why it doesn't work. So that's just sort of my opinion on it.
But do we have to let a kid die to make an example out of him? I mean, I think that's the problem here, is that I agree with you, when a kid gets busted or whatever, it shows his peers, but we're dealing about kids dying here, and Nolan's Jenkins' death was a real tragedy, and I hate to think that the only thing we can take away from that is that some kids learn not to drink and drive. I think we need to be more preventative.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Lance. Sorry, I think I cut him. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off when you had something else to say. It's 11:57 here, and we're about to finish up our hour and turn it over to George. We talked about it briefly, not as much as I'd hoped to today. The post-prom party at Western. Sue, I want to ask you, and I feel like I already know Frank's feelings on it, and Andrew, I want to ask you about it. I think everybody agrees that high school kids are going to drink. The majority of them are going to want to check it out, see what it's all about. There are events such as the prom where they're more likely to do so because of peer pressure. Do you think that it's appropriate for someone like the folks who did to hold a party to try and keep things under control, and when doing so, should they get their names dragged through the paper? Because nothing happened. Certainly nothing happened like happened with Nolan. Is it okay to do that?
Well, Frank, you're asking me a question that's not really a school board question. It's a question about what I feel as a parent of an Albemarle High School graduate last year.
And you are an adult and part of the community despite your role.
Right. I would say that I am fully aware what the law is. And the law is you drink when you're 21 and older.
Okay. Andrew?
I think that parents who offer kind of a haven for kids to enjoy their a big night is a responsible thing to do, and I know the Gokies well, and I know that the county provides a place for kids to gather after prom, and there's nothing wrong with that. That obviously that's alcohol free. The Gokies had every intention of that party being alcohol free, and I think what they did was responsible, and I think it's unfortunate that they're sort of being crucified here for making a good decision about limiting the alcohol and preventing it.
Are you still there, Kaylin? Hello?
Yeah,
all right, forget it. I was hoping to go out with a call from a Western Albemarle student, but no, we have to go out with a bunch of kids jabbing in the background. I do want to thank all three of you for coming in today, Sue Friedman, Frank Burkett, Andrew Owen. I think we got a lot of calls, and I don't know that necessarily we got anything settled here, but certainly we heard a lot of different points from a lot of different people.
Thank you.
Next week, Pete Ronayne is here in the studio. I'm going to go home and see my parents. Adios.
This- has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstand Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.